which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Fidella.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. Joe Rogan.
No, it's not Joe Rogan or Claremont Stevens. Is it Joe something?
I mean, that's a real generic name, so like I wouldn't be surprised if it was Joe. Girls.
Joe Francis.
Yes, it is.
He went to jail for a little bit.
Did he?
Yeah, because I think they had a couple girls on there that weren't quite 18.
Oh boy.
Or maybe they didn't get consent, or there was an issue.
Well, apparently they filed for bankruptcy in 2013. So.
Did they really? Wow. Where are they spending all the money?
I guess, sending people to all these exotic places.
Well, all right, listen. All right, just think about this. If you were the owner or creator or whatever of Girls Gone Wild.
Well, also, okay, in 2008, a Missouri woman claimed that she was filmed without consent when a Girls Gone Wild contractor removed her halter top at a St. Louis bar. A jury found that she consented. On retrial, a judge awarded the woman $5.77 million after... Why not just round up to 5.8? Like, why 5.77?
We're gonna round up to 6.
Well, no, why not round up to 5.8 instead of... Yeah, all right, whatever. After the defense failed to show at court. On appeal, the judge upheld the verdict. So they lost almost $6 million that way.
Okay.
I don't know, but here's my favorite thing on the Wikipedia page. In September 2005, Girls Gone Wild announced that it would donate all proceeds of Mardi Gras-themed DVDs and videos to the Red Cross. Proceeds from the video sales, which included a title featuring Snoop Dogg, were intended to help victims of the Katrina hurricane.
Well, that's nice of them.
That's very nice of them, but just seems weird.
A friend of ours had an idea, and he's had this idea for a long time, to have a porno company that fights like hunger. And the name of it would be called Hungry for Porn. And it would be like a Paul Newman, Newman's Own type thing, but all the proceeds would go to fighting people who, for poor people and stuff. But Hungry for Porn.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He was gonna start a company called Hungry for Porn.
Yeah.
And it was gonna donate all its profits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Hang on, I just wanna see. Survey says. I wanna see if it's taken. If not, I might register.
I mean, he's been talking about this since we were in like high school. So,
Hungry for Porn is apparently available.
Oh wow!
So I mean, it could work.
Yeah. Hungry for Porn. The name is
look,
good.
Look, it is. No, it is.
No, I know. He. I don't think he's actually serious about it, but he's been talking about it for years.
He's been like, dude, it's such a good idea.
Right, like, is it like me with the moon cows, you know?
Wait, you with the what now?
Moon cows.
What? I don't know if I know this once.
Never told you about the moon cows?
Yeah, what's the moon cows thing?
Oh, boy. All right. So, Now, Keith, do you like veal?
Veal's pretty delicious, yeah.
Yeah.
If I see what you're saying.
Oh, hold on.
All right, go on.
Hold on. If there's one hang up about veal, what is it in general?
It's that you gotta kill the baby cows.
Right. And it's a baby cow. Why is it a baby cow?
Because the meat's more tender.
Right. So, if you have a cow, if you raise cows on a planet or moon, whatever, that is 1/6 the gravity of the Earth, you should, and in theory, I'm no scientist, I'm no expert in the field. However, my theory is that you can have more tender cow meat, more veal-like meat, without it having to be a baby. I call it veal without the guilt.
Ah, see, that's good. I see. I kind of like that.
Isn't that a good idea?
You see things not as they are, but as they should be.
But as they should be. Right. See, isn't that a good idea? Now, obviously, I understand that the physical limitations of such an endeavor exist right now. That can't be done in the current world. However, 100, 200, 250, whatever years from now, it will be feasible, and I think is a very good idea.
It is, in theory, quite possible.
Right. That's all I'm saying. So, I almost feel like I should copyright the idea so that my great-grandkids can live off the fruits of my brilliant idea that I cannot.
I think you might have something there.
Well, I've told people about it. They've laughed, and I said, listen, I really don't think it's as stupid an idea as you think. I mean, it's ridiculous, but the thing is that I think a lot of people think of it in current technological terms. You know, yes, obviously that's ridiculous and stupid, but all things being equal, if we could just do it, if it was going to the moon was an everyday occurrence, you know, I don't think it would be that ridiculous.
You know what? I think it's something to definitely think about.
Yeah.
But before I got the email related to work, this is how I wanted to start the show. This is how I wanted to start it. And this is how I want to answer as soon as you picked up.
What's up, kid? Sorry I was late. I was getting my beak wet, if you know what I mean.
You're getting your beak wet?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because, look, I don't know if this is how you do it, kid, but,
Oh. Oh, wait. I think I get the beak wet thing.
So,
I so badly want to know what you're thinking. But tell me at the end if this is what you were thinking.
Okay.
So, I hired a prostitute.
Gosh.
To come over, and she almost left as soon as I opened the door. So I. Look, kid, I said I would pay her double. So for $50 and 2 Whopper Juniors, she let me eat her ass. But, because I'm so massive in size, my face is so gigantic, whenever I'm eating an ass, my nose ends up in the vagina.
Because
I like them to sit on my face, you know? So then my nose is right up there, kind of fucking their fucking their cunt, you know? And then, if I can get the right angle, I can massage their clit with my eyebrows.
Well, you just, like, move your eyebrows up and down? Just keep...
Yeah, like I'm always surprised at what she's saying to me.
So is your nose going into the vagine? Is that wetting your beak?
Yeah, because it looks like a fucking beak. I look like a fucking flamingo. I'm a freak of nature.
I'm a hideous beast.
So I just end up with stink nose for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is like wetting your beak. Yeah,
is that not what you call it?
You think she spent $50 and two Whopper Juniors on a prostitute? I mean, the prostitute must have been from Quincy.
I don't know. She came to Weymouth, so I don't.
Oh, she went all the way into Weymouth.
She might have been local. I don't know, kid.
She traveled.
When,
that's pretty good.
When she came to my door, she was taking off her Shaw's name tag.
Oh, God. I...
That's such a poll that nobody, only certain people get that. People in other countries are going, Shaw's name tag, what the fuck is he talking about? I apologize, I might have gone too local on that one.
That's okay. I actually have a story of something that happened right not too far from my house.
I hope it involves you fucking a prostitute that's wearing a Shaw's vest.
No, I mean, it involves Quincy.
Oh, I thought she was still wearing the Shaw's vest. And while you're fucking her, the name tag that underneath it said 3 years of service was still bouncing around.
Oh, wait,
around.
Yeah. You say bouncing around?
Yeah. Yeah, because you were fucking her.
Right. No, unfortunately it doesn't. It did take place near a Star Market, though, which Star is owned by Shaw's, so it's close. Yeah, right down the street from my house, this story is posted yesterday. It says, police are looking for two men who attacked a man with a hatchet inside the Ross parking garage in Quincy Center.
Wait, they had the hatchet or the man had the hatchet?
They had the hatchet. They attacked a man.
Okay.
It says, I'll skip the name of the policeman. Said a man in his early 60s was taken to Boston Medical Center with serious injuries Tuesday after being attacked by two white men on the third level of the city-owned Ross Garage. Blah, 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 blah. Victim told police he was heading to his car after work, and the men sprayed him in the face with an unknown substance, then hit him in the head with a hatchet.
Wow.
Yeah. Police said...
Is this the parking garage that's right by the, that's right by the, like, the train station, or...
Yes, not the one attached to the train station, but you know, like in Quincy Center, like behind where, like all the bars are and everything, and there's like that shitty like alleyway almost, and there's a parking garage in there.
Yes,
that's where it happened.
Nice.
Yeah. Police said the incident is still being investigated, but he has said he is fairly certain that the victim was specifically targeted by the assailants, and it didn't appear to be a random attack. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, I wouldn't say I'm worried, but... I don't know. I don't know how this gentleman is doing. Apparently he was talking, though, to the police, so he was apparently okay enough to speak. So I don't know. I was thinking about it.
He was allegedly okay enough to speak. Allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know. You hit in the head with a hatchet. I'm thinking of, like, different things that could happen to you.
Maybe they like, use the back end of the hatchet, though. The blunt side.
I guess it's possible.
So it was more like getting hit with a hammer.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I feel like otherwise you should be dead.
You would think so, yeah. I don't know. It says, police responded to the garage after receiving a report of loud noises. Officers arrived to find the victim's head and face soaked in blood and a blood-stained hatchet on the ground next to him. Sounds pretty wild. I was thinking maybe I should take a ride up there and see if I can find the stain.
But, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of out of your way these days.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel like leaving the house, you know?
I thought it was going to have more to do with Shaw's.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Shaw's because it's near the star market.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm sorry, yeah. Did you have something to say about Shaw's, though?
No. Shaw's is fine. It was just the most appropriate place I could think of.
Yeah.
Which you might have a name tag from, especially being from Weymouth. So
Yeah, Weymouth. Good old, how long did you live in Weymouth?
I think maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how long I lived in Boston for. Boston area. I think maybe 3.5 years. So I think I lived 2 years in Somerville and then a year and a half in Weymouth.
Yeah. Good old Weymouth. I love Weymouth because Weymouth is one of the few places as someone from Quincy I can like look down upon. I can talk shit about Weymouth and there's not much anyone can really say. I do remember when you lived in Weymouth. I remember the apartment complex there.
Yeah.
I only really visited once, though.
Yeah, I think you were there only a couple times.
Yeah, I do remember ingesting substances and watching The Godfather.
Yes, that was
a lot of fun.
We did do that. Did we watch Godfather or Godfather 2? I think we watched Godfather 2.
I think it was 2, actually.
Or did we watch both?
I don't remember.
It might have been both.
Definitely 2. I don't know. See, if we did both, it would have taken a long time. But it was definitely 2. I remember watching 2.
Yeah, but I feel like it was a Saturday, and it could have easily been both.
That's true. We could have tucked away 7 hours worth of of Godfather watching.
And here's the thing. That seems like something that we would do, too.
That's true. That doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah. If you were like, remember that time that we were at your place and we watched 7 hours of Gilmore Girls? I'd be like, that doesn't seem like something we would do.
Yeah. I mean, Rory and Lorelai are hot, but it's not 7 hours hot.
If you were like, remember we watched them for 2 hours and then each jerked off in separate rooms in my house, I'd be like, oh yeah, I do remember that.
Or we jerked off in the same room, but we just didn't make eye contact.
Yeah. We all stood in a corner while the TV was in the fourth corner.
It was like our own perverted version of Foursquare.
Yeah. This is what Foursquare is, right, guys? Just cranking it.
Everyone's just in their own corner of the room, just going to town on themselves. Sounds great. When are you coming back up to Boston?
I don't know. When's that wedding that I'm your date to?
Oh, that's November.
Oh, that's not until November.
Or October, November. So that's a while.
All right. So I'll have to try and figure out something for the summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to come up. We need to get weird.
And then we'll try Foursquare.
Yeah, we'll try Foursquare.
It'll be our version of Foursquare, Four Corners.
Four Corners. Was that the game in in elementary school used to play four corners. Do you remember that?
Oh, with the ball?
No. Where you'd have one stupid kid in the middle, and they would close their eyes.
Yeah.
And they would count like down from like 30 seconds.
Okay.
And everyone would run to a different corner of the room, and each corner would be like corner one, corner two, corner three, corner four.
Yeah.
And they'd call out a corner.
Oh, my God.
And whoever was in that corner was out.
I do remember playing this a few times.
Yeah. And then so it would basically – it would just keep going lower and lower and lower until there was only a few people left. And finally, in theory, there would only be one person left.
Yeah.
At the end. Which, I mean, that didn't always work out, I guess. But. Yeah.
No, that's like red light, green light.
Yeah.
Or what was the other one? What time is it, Mr. Fox?
I don't know. What time is it, Mr. Fox? So what is that?
What time is it, Mr. Fox is basically the same thing as a red light, green light.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, red light, green light is – I always played it in gym. I can't imagine you can play it anywhere else really.
Yeah, it was like in between dodgeball and playing with a giant parachute.
Yeah. So, like, one kid would stand on the other side, would stand on one side, and everyone else would stand on the other. And then you had to say red light or green light. And green light, everybody would start to run towards you.
Yeah.
And then when you yelled red light, everybody had to stop. I don't really remember what the point of it, though, was. Because I think we played more of What Time Is It, Mr. Fox, which was like a counting one. I guess to help our math skills. But what was the point of red light, green light?
I don't know. Like, were you supposed to get all the way to the kid?
I think so, but eventually then, like, the kid loses, so I don't know what the point is. Because
I don't know. What was Fantastic Mr. Fox?
What Time Is It, Mr. Fox? Not Fantastic Mr. Fox, that's a movie. Voiced by George Clooney.
Whatever.
What Time Is It, Mr. Fox? Was you would stand at one end and they would go, "What time is it, Mr. Fox?" And you'd be like, 4 o'clock. And then everybody would have to take 4 steps forward. Now, you don't know if they're taking big steps or little steps or, you know, what they're doing. But they have to take 4 steps forward. And then they say, "What time is it, Mr. Fox?" And you guess, you know, 9 o'clock. So then they have to take 9 steps. So that keeps going. Unless... when they say, "What time is it, Mr. Fox?" you say midnight, and then you turn around, and then it kind of turns into tag almost. And you have to tag people. So you have to wait till you think they're close to you, because you can't see them. You have to wait till you think they're close to you.
So,
but they're not close enough to get you, and then you say midnight, so you can turn around and run and try and tag them, and then they become like part of like your fox tribe, whatever a group of foxes is called. It's probably something stupid like a breed of foxes. But
What is a group of foxes?
I don't know. You look it up.
All right,
whatever a group of foxes is called, they become part of it. So then they're in the line with you, and then you have to go, and then you're still saying, "What time is it, Mr. Rock?" So in theory, it's either that they get to you before you say midnight and tag anybody, and then you get replaced by them, or you tag more of them, and then you guys keep tagging people in until there's only like one person left.
Sounds needlessly complicated.
I think it was basically to help our counting skills.
It sounds like it, and honestly, it probably worked.
I'm assuming that that's what it was for.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Just so you know, a group of foxes are known as a skulk.
A skulk.
Yes. Actually, there's a couple different ones. A skulk, I think, is the primary one. Could also be known as a leash.
A leash, okay.
Leash. Or Earth.
Earth?
Yeah, that sounds like some hippie bullshit. I'm going to go with a skulk.
Let's go with a skulk. So yeah. Basically, you recruit these kids into being a skulk of foxes.
Yeah.
and then just keep going until there's only one kid left, and then you all gang up on them.
Right. Skulk.
Basically, it was a practice of socialism in school.
It sounds like it.
How do we get on?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Right, we're talking about childhood games.
Foursquare.
Jerking off in the corner. Yeah,
coming up to Boston.
That's usually how most of our conversations.
We were talking about jerking off.
Yeah, jerking off in the corner. Shamefully.
Very, very shameful. Well, I don't know. Did you have anything else? Any ideas?
So I don't know if we actually wanted to finish the saga that we had been doing. I don't know where we left off, though, is the only problem. So I got to take a minute to find out where we left off if we actually want to finish the Reddit saga.
We can finish.
I also had a hypothetical situation that we could look at, or I don't know if you had anything.
I was thinking that the last thing I was thinking of really was we could talk about two things was the top songs from last year or the Oscars, but
I mean, we could talk about the Oscars.
It's up to you.
How many of the movies have you seen?
Not a ton of them. That's part of the problem.
Okay.
Not part of the problem, but like I'm thinking of the movies that were up for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen many of them.
Have you seen any of them?
Up for Best Picture?
Best Picture. I know was American Sniper.
Nope.
Birdman.
Nope.
I think Theory of Everything might have been up there.
Oh, with the retarded guy? No.
No, he's not retarded.
No, he is.
No, he has.
Can he walk?
He has Lou Gehrig's disease.
He's stupid. He's dumb.
No, he's not dumb. He just can't. He's actually really smart. He's a really smart guy.
He's a retard.
He just can't. No,
is that actually what Stephen Hawking has?
Lou Gehrig's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that that's what he had.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like a degenerate.
You just thought he was so addicted to drugs his body was slowly shutting down.
No, that's not actually what I thought. I knew he had some sort of a condition.
You didn't realize it was Lou Gehrig's?
I didn't realize that it was Lou Gehrig's disease.
It was American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood?
No.
Grand Budapest Hotel?
No.
Imitation Game?
No.
Selma?
No.
Theory of Everything?
No.
Whiplash?
No.
All right, sir. Well, I guess we really shouldn't discuss the Oscars.
How many of those did you see?
I have seen Birdman, Whiplash, and Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay. All right. A few.
There are Oscar-nominated ones that I see. I saw Gone Girl, which was nominated for Actress in a Leading Role. Did not win.
Yeah. So, okay.
So maybe we should abandon the Oscars is the point here. I mean, let's just do this though. Overall, did you like the show? Did you not like the show? What did you think of the political commentary?
My opinion of the Oscars, and I mean, my opinion has been very similar for several years now of the Oscars, and.
I feel like this is leading up to you, to hearing you take a shit in your hand and then rubbing it on the microphone.
What?
I don't know. I feel like you're just going to be like, I hated it. It was terrible.
No, I'm not going to do a blanket statement.
Okay.
and say it was all terrible. What I'm going to say, though, is that the Oscars in general, along with a lot of these award shows that are put on by the highest of highs in each industry and celebrate the top money getters,
the top men
in the industry.
Yeah.
It's basically a gathering of people who already think extremely highly of themselves to just pat themselves on the back. They're not willing to accept criticism. They, you know, it's just like perfect example is, I mean, the host, you know, getting fucking, oh my God, I'm blanking on his fucking name right
now.
Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, like, there's nothing, it's so typical. It's so generic to have this guy who's he's not going to create waves. He's not going to like get in there and like give people a hard time.
See, I think he walked a very fine line this year, I feel like. Cuz there were some times where he really just outright said what everybody was thinking. I'm trying to remember his joke from the opening. Because everybody's all upset because there aren't enough people of diversity nominated.
People of diversity? Come on, just come on. This is a podcast.
There weren't enough black people nominated.
Okay.
So he made a joke about it being... He was like, "Oh, it's the whitest stars in Hollywood. I mean, the brightest stars in Hollywood."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he kind of did address some of those things. He wasn't terrible, but yeah, there have been edgier ones in previous years that have never come back.
Listen, I'm not sitting here shitting on Neil Patrick Harris. I'm just saying it was safe.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He addressed it in the safe. He addressed some of the things in the safest way possible.
In the safest way possible. He is a popular, good-looking, gay entertainer. And right now, that is exactly... And who isn't going to create huge waves within the industry by giving... You know, established people too hard of a time, right. And that's exactly what they want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, having Seth MacFarlane do it, despite the fact that I'm pretty sure he's, you know, politically he probably fits in line with a lot of the people in the the upper echelons of Hollywood. He does say the things that they don't like. You know. So he's not going to, you know, he's not going to do it again.
Yeah.
And honestly, as much as I think Seth MacFarlane's kind of played himself out a bit, I would have loved to have seen him do it again because I thought he did a good job. But yeah, so I watched the Oscars and – yes, I like seeing the awards. I like seeing these, especially like the directors and the cinematographers and like all that shit. I like seeing the different people who had the different parts in the films. But I just – what bothers me is just an entire show dedicated to kissing its own ass.
You know, and that's – the thing is, that's not how the Oscars originally started. That's not what they were set out to do. And then, along the way, that's kind of what it became. I think that there is a swing back from it being where it was before. Because it was at one point also very political.
Yeah.
And you're looking at people who won and stuff, and you're like, I don't know, this just seems... It seems, I don't know if I want to say fishy, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But I would say if they were still if the conspiracists were saying that, you know, the liberal Hollywood was controlling everything and the Oscars were an extension of that, then I would argue that Birdman would not have won Best Picture and Best Director.
Yeah.
Because you look at who's up for Best Picture, and somebody told me that they assume that American Sniper did not win Best Picture. Now again, I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure whether it should have won or not.
Right, I haven't either.
I've only seen clips from it or anything. But they're saying that it didn't win Best Picture because of how liberal, how liberal Hollywood is. But then why would you give it to Birdman instead of The Imitation Game about homosexual or Selma about Martin Luther King? Why not go with one of those two ones? Or The Theory of Everything about a guy who's using science to basically disprove the fact that God created everything? Yeah, like, why not go with one of those if you're trying to be political about it?
True. That's definitely not wrong. You could definitely notice anytime the movie American Sniper was mentioned, got maybe a third of the applause from the crowd as the other movies did.
But you
bring up a point, you know. I mean that you know, why would it even be nominated for Best Picture if they hated it so much?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you might be right, you know. I'm not, you know, I can't disagree that. I think there is obviously, you know, I mean, it's Hollywood. It's the Oscars. There's bias. I mean, I personally don't care because I go into it knowing that fact. I mean, I watch the Oscars or something, and I know there's a bias or whatnot. You know, I know that I probably don't agree with a lot of the people that make the decisions. So whatever, that's not the point.
I would say that it's better than the Grammys, though.
I definitely think it's better than the Grammys. I mean, the Grammys is so meaningless. I mean, the Oscars, okay, in the grand scheme of things, none of these awards really mean that much because the legacy of a movie is really established, say, like 10 years after it comes out.
Right.
However, people do hold an Oscar win in much higher regard than a fucking Grammy win. I mean, no one gives a shit about a Grammy win.
Well, yeah, because if you said to me, hey, I got this movie that you should really see. It won like 5 Oscars. I'd be like,
it won Best Picture.
Yeah, if you were like, hey, you know, it won Best Picture and it won like Best Actress, I'd be like, oh, I should probably see that movie.
Right.
But if you were like, hey, I got the CD, and you said the name, and it was like a movie that I had heard of, but I was like, I didn't really think anything of it. Say, Master and Commander. I don't know if Master and Commander ever won any Oscars. But say you were like, have you ever seen Master and Commander? You should really watch it. Won Oscars. I'd be like, no, I didn't, but you know what? I should probably check it out. And then if you were like, hey, did you ever listen to this CD? It won 2 Grammys. I'd be like, well, what's the CD? And you're like, well, it's whatever. By, you know, the guys that did Who Let the Dogs Out. Be like, oh, I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
Like, I just go, ah, no. Who, by the way, who did do Who Let the Dogs Out?
The Baja Men.
Ah, right, the Baja Men. See?
Right.
So yeah. Forgettable. But yeah, I would probably just ignore it. If you told me that they won a Grammy, but you tell me that they win an Oscar, then I'll maybe take some time out of my schedule to check it out.
Right. Right. No, exactly. And again, I don't care. I don't, you know, like the bias, whatever. I feel that the Oscars hold more weight, and at the same time, it's like you know this shit going in, but that's not what bothers me about the Oscars. And I'm not saying everything bothers me. I took the time to watch it, which I went, all right, not the entire thing, but I would say a good portion of it I did watch, which I don't with the other award
shows. Right,
I don't even bother. It's stupid. I take the time to watch it because I feel that the awards hold a little bit of weight. Now I forget where I was just about to go with that.
So, I think part of the thing, though, is that the Oscars are, and I'm not 100% sure on how the Grammys are done, but the Oscars are done in such a way so that if you win in cinematography, it's because other cinematographers thought your work was the best. If you win for directing, that means that other directors thought your work was the best. Because how your membership is, I guess, towards the – or how you're listed within the Academy is the only way that you can vote. Or maybe it's nominations are limited to only them, and then anybody can vote once they get nominated. That part I forget a little bit, and we could probably look it up, but I'm not going to bother. But either in order to get nominated – or definitely to get nominated, but even possibly just to vote. Like, you have to be within the same job listing as who you're voting for. So if I'm George Clooney, I'm going to be listed as an actor, and I don't really get a say in cinematography and who I'm nominating. Only cinematographers get that. So if you're nominated, it's a great honor because you're like, well, other cinematographers recognize my work.
Right.
But for Grammys, I feel like it's not I don't know, but I don't think it's like only country people can vote for like best country album. Like I don't think that has anything to do with it. So it's not as It's not as positive and not as it's like when you go in to buy a pack of gum, and the one pack of gum says 4 to 5 dentists recommend this. You're like, oh well, that has some weight to it.
Yeah,
Grammys have no weight because they're just like a group of people voted on this. But Oscars, you're like, oh well, other cinematographers thought his cinematography was the best, so I guess we gotta.
Right, and it's like these people know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, they should, otherwise why are they listed under that?
Right.
But, you know. In any of that, did you remember your point, your original point?
No, I didn't.
Totally escaped you.
Yeah, it really did.
I think your point was just that it carried some weight.
It does.
It carries me, and it's worth noting.
I mean, more than anything, I just, regardless of what the message is, regardless of the weight of the awards, it's become just a.
Let's celebrate ourselves.
Yeah, it's just the entire thing has just become an exercise in masturbation.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's become 4 people jerking off in separate corners of the room.
Right, exactly. And I, in that respect, I don't have interest in watching it. It's just a bunch of people getting up and clapping for people who are in the same industry, have the same interests. And just, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, I see you all the time.
It's
you know, I'm, hey, I like you. Here's a little statue here. And yeah. It's like, I don't, you know, like if I could give awards out to people, I would give them to my friends. You know, like if I'd be like, oh, my, you know, the most loyal, the most, you know, friendly, the most, you know, all this shit. If I could give out, I wouldn't give them to strangers. I'd just give them to my friends. I'd just give them to people I know.
Well,
and people would be like, well,
but that's,
you know, who gives a shit? Like, what's the point? You're just going to give them to the people you like anyways.
Right. But they're that's exactly why we have the Oscars. Is that your point?
No, I'm saying that I feel like there's not enough. It's you know what? No. The thing is just I'm saying you're watching it and you know what's going to happen without it even happening, and it's fine.
I to a certain extent, but like you don't necessarily know who's going to win.
You don't know exactly, but it's like okay, well it's between this front runner and this front runner, and there's not much variation.
But you only know that because of what other people have told you. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean about the movies themselves?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about this year. I mean, that doesn't mean I haven't seen the movies from past years.
No, but.
But what I'm saying is that very, very rarely does a movie win a lot of awards that is outside the normal realm of Oscar winner. You know? Like very rarely does a movie come along that's like really goes against the grain of what the Oscar voters vote for that wins anything.
I would say that
I'm not saying never.
Let me rephrase this, but I would say you're right.
You could just watch a movie and say to yourself, man, that's an Oscar winner right there. And not even saying it's a great movie. But you look at it and you're just like, damn. Like, that's a movie that wins Oscars.
See, I think that is one. I think that is something that is changing.
Okay. All right. I mean.
So, because you look at a movie like last year was The Butler.
Yeah.
That was huge Oscar bait.
Right. I mean, that just, right.
A movie about America and civil rights and race, and you were just like, that is Oscar bait right there. That is going to win so many awards. It didn't win that many awards. It was a bad movie.
Right.
And it had every actor possible in it. It had so many people. It had fucking Oprah in it. Didn't win that many. So, you know, you look at it, and yeah, there are some that you go, "Oh, that's gonna win some Oscars and stuff." But there are ones that you go, "Oh, that makes sense. That won an Oscar for this reason or that reason or whatever." Like Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is always gonna win an Oscar,
right?
You're just like, okay, he's gonna win. Forrest Gump is gonna win stuff, of course. Philadelphia is going to win stuff. But I feel like lately, the nominations have made sense, but I feel like the awards haven't always made sense. And I feel like Birdman doesn't fit that category either. So hopefully, we're in a situation where that's kind of changing.
Right.
But you were saying that you if you were going to give out awards, you would just give them to your friends, and strangers would be like, who gives a shit about this?
Right.
But if there was the possibility where you gave awards to your friends and then the rest of America could then try to become friends with your friends, they would care about the awards. which is the same thing as the Oscars. Because, like, people only really watch it, but people watch it for two reasons. One, because they're obsessed with the glitz and the glamour, and these are the same people that give a shit when somebody in England in the royal family gets married. And right. they get up at fucking 4 a.m. to watch the wedding. Or they watch it, which is why I watch it, to prioritize what movies they should see.
Right.
So even if it's a movie that they're not really sure they want to see, like, I would not have watched Whiplash unless it had been nominated. I mean, I might have eventually, but it would not have been on my list of ones to try and, like, make an effort to see had it not been nominated. So if other people in that industry are saying, oh, it's good, it's a good movie, out of all the movies that have come out this year, this is one of the best ones, or this acting is one of the best actings. Like,
right.
this is something you should see, and that's why I watch it.
Okay, I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying there. Where...
But.
Okay.
You just hate the Oscars.
No. I don't hate the Oscars. I don't. I honestly don't. But. What I'm trying to say is that the opinion of you're saying, okay, well, so and so, you know, they're nominating this film, they're nominating this actor, you know, so I should check it out. Yes, is that a reason to check it out? Maybe. I don't necessarily know that's any more reason to check it out than it would be if someone I trust suggested it.
Well, yeah, if someone you trust suggests it, yeah. Excluding that, like, if it's just this is all the advertising that's out there. Like, that's just a way to judge it.
Yeah.
And I think that gives it some weight. But I think my biggest problem with the Oscars is the need to... Because you're right. You do kind of have an idea of what's going to happen. And you do kind of know. And even given the subject matter, you can kind of go, okay, well, it's going to be between this one and this one, or this one and this one, and you can kind of have an idea. Because right. based on the subject matter, a lot of people thought American Sniper was probably going to win. But Boyhood, just because it took 12 years to film. But
which is a feat.
Which is very impressive, and I really thought that was going to land Linkletter the best director, because that was his vision and that was his project, and he put it together over 12 years, and that's very impressive.
It is.
I haven't seen the movie, though, partially because it's 3 fucking hours long, and I don't have the time to watch a 3-hour movie right now. And if I did, I would probably watch a Godfather movie. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's what I would do instead of watching the story about a boy growing up. And, right. Because I really don't care for Ethan Hawke either.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. Regardless.
But the thing that I don't like about the Oscars is the politicizing of everything just in their acceptance speeches. The need to just suddenly come out and just politicize everything, and you're just like, why you couldn't just thank everybody, thank your mom, say I love you to my family, and just be done with it. You had to come up with this moment to make a political statement that will have no impact whatsoever in anything.
Yeah.
Like, what's her name? Patricia Arquette.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Saw that.
Her saying that, whether it's right or wrong, will not have any impact in any kind of women's movement. it will not be she will not be remembered for having an impact in the women's movement. It will not have any kind of impact in that. John Legend and Common saying, commenting about all the African Americans in jail. They will not have any impact in changing that. They will not be remembered in that in any way, and it will not have any great impact. The ones that will have an impact that we will not be able to measure are what I think is the two best little add-ons to an acceptance speech, which are the ones I can accept and I'm totally okay with, were J.K. Simmons talking about his parents and saying, if you have a parent still alive, if you have parents still alive, call them. Don't text them. Don't email them. Actually call them and just talk to them and listen.
Yeah.
Because maybe that'll actually have an impact on a few people and they will get something from their parents that will be impactful in their lives, or a good story that they can pass on to their kids, or something that's more meaningful in the end, or something that after their parents die, they will appreciate more of later on in life.
Right.
And then the imitation game guy, who said, I think when he was 16, he tried to kill himself. I'm assuming because he's gay. That wasn't really clear.
No, he didn't really get into it.
But the subject matter of the script that he wrote is about a gay man, or involves a gay man. And the way he said it kind of made it seem that way. But either way, you know, when he was 16, he tried to kill himself. And he's so glad that he didn't, and that to anybody out there who's feeling weird, out of place, like they don't belong, that you do belong, and one day you will feel like you belong, and you are important and make a difference. And if that even saves one person, that's worth it. And that probably will save at least one person.
Yeah, I mean,
and that'll have an impact. And that's not one we can measure, but I feel like that will have a larger impact than the just blatant political statements of being like, this is the political soapbox that I'm standing on right now.
Right.
By the way, go watch my movie. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's not that, you know, these people can have these positions. It doesn't bother me. Like, they can have these statements or whatnot. It just, I feel like it's always this sort of posturing. It's always this, you know, well, I'm here. I'm gonna throw out this and that and all this, you know, I this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm expected to do. Yeah. You know, it's I don't know. I feel like it's you get up there, you were in this movie, you're lucky. You're lucky to be in this position. You're a privileged person. You made all this money being in this movie. And you get up there and you start talking about, equal pay or for whomever or you know whatever the situation may be, and I feel like it's a bit disingenuous. I feel like they're talking from a place of no experience in the situation. And it's just posturing on their part to be, you know, with a cause or with it, or, you know, in the mind's eye at this time. So, oh, okay, well, you know, so and so says this, so and so's they're for this cause, and it's almost like they go down the list in the fucking phone book and pick a cause to be part of. It doesn't really have any effect on their lives, you know, and it's just like, well, you know, I've got this position of power now. I'm going to, you know, I'm gonna tell the world that this is wrong. And it's like, there's so many different things that are wrong in this world. There's so many different things that are going on. There's so many awful things. I mean, what's the worst thing in the world that's going on right now?
You know, I think you hit it right on the head there. It's the genuineness of their statement.
Right.
Because J.K. Simmons and the Imitation Game gentleman, who I feel bad that I don't know his name, so hang on. Graham Moore.
Okay, yeah.
Graham Moore. J.K. Simmons and Graham Moore spoke from the heart, obviously.
And
they were saying
genuine.
Something that was genuine and important to them. But Patricia Arquette and Common and John, you're exactly right. They seemed like they were saying something that they thought they should say.
Right.
Not something that they felt, but something that they thought that they were supposed to say. So,
I just, it's not that these people can't have opinions. It's not that they can't get up there and say what they want to say. It's not that I have any issue with them believing any one thing. It's just that I feel that the whole thing is very disingenuous.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to these acceptance speeches. You know, they get up there and they're accepting an award for doing – yeah, I mean, yes, they have a talent. They have a great talent. I love movies. I love movies more than most things in the world. But, you know, you're getting up there, you're a very privileged person, and you're accepting an award for doing something that most people cannot, and getting paid far more money than most people will ever even see in their lifetime. And you're getting on your little soapbox, because at this point, what else do you have to worry about? You know, like, you get this person up there, you know, blah, 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 you know, wage equality, or blah, 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 you know, racial injustice. And it's almost as if, you know, from my perspective, is I look at that and I say, well, Are these legitimate concerns? Yes, they're legitimate concerns. But I'm a regular person. I'm working in 99% of us are regular ass people going through our lives, and we have so many things working against us. We have so many fucking things going against us in everyday life, and it's like I can't even fathom worrying about something such what they're talking about. And it seems so foreign when these people get up there, these very rich, privileged people get up there and they start talking about, you know, all these injustices. And I'm like, you know, that's great, but it's just so pie in the sky. It's so like you're living in a fantasy world to think that that is my number one concern. Like the average person watching you is it just can't even get into that mode because we're worried about, you know, oh shit, I gotta go to work tomorrow. Oh fuck, I gotta pay my rent, you know? It's like you're talking about things that it not only is not most people aren't gonna remember, but we can't even get into it. And that's why it kind of doesn't always sit great with me.
It's hard to relate, and they make it seem so simple. They make it seem so, oh, we need to do this one thing. Like this one, if we can figure out this one thing, everything will be fine.
Right.
If we can just start paying women equal wages as men, then everything will be fine. If we get having less African Americans in jail, everything will be fine.
Right.
But nobody ever thinks about it in the terms of, because if anybody digs a little deeper into any of these statistics, then it opens up a whole can of worms and you're just like, oh, well, this isn't an easy problem to fix.
Right.
Because part of the problem with the equal wages with women thing is that the statistic that's thrown around where it's, was it 66 cents to a dollar?
Yeah, for the sake of argument, yeah.
Well, it's basically the statistics that is thrown around most is that women make so many cents to the dollar for every dollar that a man makes.
Yeah. But say two-thirds.
What that is saying, that's an older statistic, but what is that is also taking into account, or what that isn't taking into account, is the fact that in general, we still have a society where women most of the time take care of the children.
Right.
So not as many women are in the workforce, and if they are in the workforce, usually maybe they're taking up something more, something smaller, something part-time. The wage isn't as much as what they're taking up because it's a more of a part-time job. It's more of an easier job that they can do just to make some extra money for the household instead of what the guy's doing in terms of trying to make more and be the provider. Because to a certain extent, we still do live in that society where women are the caregivers and men are the providers.
Right.
Doesn't have to be that way. Isn't always the case. But in general, that's still kind of the way it is. So women are trying to pick up these extra things that do pay less than men. There's also the fact that, which is a problem, that men are more often promoted than women into positions of power. So therefore, they make more.
Right.
And that's something that can be corrected and that we're in the process of probably correcting, but it takes time.
It's also not something that I necessarily think you can force.
Not at all. But there's a certain thing where because there's this stigma with the older people that are already in possessions of power or positions of power, the older gentlemen of the old guard, that they don't necessarily want to promote women, and that's something that's in the process of changing, but because of that, we're not going to be able to change their opinion, and they're probably not going to want to promote women.
Right, but these dudes need to and are going to die off.
Yes, and over time that will change. So that statistic will also eventually change, and something that's in the process of changing.
Right. No, it's something, and what bothers me. And you know, you want to get back to, say, like the whole political aspect of it is just the idea that everything can be legislated. It's just like, well, we need to do this, ba 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 ba, and it's like, how do you legislate that women will get the same pay? You know, like it's very easy to say, well, oh, okay. Well, a man and a woman should get the same amount of money for the same job at the same company.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. At the same job, at the same company, yeah, that they should. But it's not black and white like that.
Exactly.
You can't just make a law. It's such a simple mindset to just say, well, you know, this should happen like this. You know, blah, 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 equal pay. It's so easy to say that.
Well,
but try to actually figure that out. Try to think of the logistics of it. It's not that simple.
It's not. And just like they said, well, there's more African Americans in jail than there are white people. Well, yeah, because statistically, African Americans live in poorer areas. Now, granted, that's partially a racial issue, and because of the way things were before, But it's a bigger issue to change instead of just being like, well, cops in the justice system are racist. No, it's because the way they're brought up puts them in a situation where they have to commit crimes in order to survive.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you can go out there and you can say, well, you know, and I believe what he said, there's more black men in prison right now than there were under slavery 150 years ago. Okay, and yes, that is a powerful statement. It's a big, you know, buzz. It gets your attention. But the fact of the matter is that you're not taking into account all the nuances, all the details, and you know,
taking in population growth either.
Well, exactly. You're not taking into account population growth, but no, is what's going on wrong? I mean, sure, absolutely. Is there a disproportionate amount of black men, you know, penalized and incarcerated? Yeah, I believe that's the case. However, you're not taking into account the overall issues where, like you said, I mean, these disproportionately large amount of black men and black people in general are brought up in poverty and forced to make decisions. Well, am I going to commit a crime or am I not going to commit a crime in order to get ahead in life? And it's like, to just blanketly say, well, blah, 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 there's more black – there's all these black guys that are currently incarcerated. Well, what is your solution? If your statement is that simple, is your solution as simple as letting them go? Like, are you just blanketly going to state, well, these men should not be in prison? Or, you know, what are you trying to say there? I mean, is it just that simple of a resolution, is to say these men shouldn't be in prison? Because, I mean, and obviously, yes, there are circumstances where these people, you know, might have been wrongfully accused, might have been profiled. You know, I'm not going to say that that's not the case, but you to just blanketly say, like, well, you know, these men are in prison, they shouldn't be. I mean, which is essentially what he's saying, is ridiculous. It's insane, and it's not taking into account any outside factors other than numbers. And I'm sorry, but numbers lie. And that's not – I'm not even sitting here saying that, oh, black people are more apt to commit crimes, or black people deserve to be in prison, well, or, you know, any of that shit. It's what I'm saying is that there's societal issues. There's so much more to it than just the numbers of people in jail.
Well, and you look at it, and I just found it. I just lost it though too. I'm gonna try and wing it here. The one article I was looking at said that there were, under slavery, there were 800,000. It was 800,000 blacks in correctional control, is what he said. He said, brought to the attention the fact that the United States is the most incarcerated country in the world. There are more black men under correctional control today than there were under slavery in 1850, is what he said. There were, 872,000 black men, so quite a bit more, enslaved in the United States in 1850. The website reports that in 2013, 1.68 million black men were under correctional control in the United States. That includes in jail, on parole, or on probation. Now, my first question to this is, what percentage of black men were under correctional control in 1850, and what percentage of black men are under correctional control right now? And does that account for the growth in, like, if it's the same percentage, that's still bad?
Well, yeah.
But, like...
But it lessens the argument.
It's not... It means that there is something still there, and what we're doing right now is almost close to slavery, but it's a different statistic then, and it's a different problem to work on.
Right.
Because there are more black men in America now than there were in 1850, guaranteed.
Certainly, yes. No, exactly.
And there are many more that are rich enough to have owned slaves in 1850. Like, it has definitely swung from where it was in 1815 to a much better position for them, but it could be better.
Obviously.
But they're not... it's just not taking everything into account.
No, it... Basically, long story short, is that the Oscars, the posturing, the... Just the these very simple yet seemingly powerful and extravagant statements made by some of the people in the Oscars and whatnot, they don't tell the whole truth. I find it comes from a place of privilege and just not being necessarily in touch with the actual – with reality. And it just it's never – that stuff has never really sat right with me. And that's fine. I don't hold it against the – I don't hold it against the entire film industry. I love movies. I mean, I absolutely fucking love movies. One of my favorite things in the world to do is watch a great movie. But it just – like I can't sit there and watch this shit and take it seriously with – you know, it's all – to me, it's – I know it's going to happen before it happens, and I have no interest in – I don't have much interest in seeing it play out.
I mean, that's fair.
That's what I'm going to say. And that, again, I still watch it because I still want to know. I'm still interested. And I still, like you said, I want to know what movies are being considered as the best. Because there's plenty of, just like music, there's plenty of movies that I enjoy that I don't necessarily agree with the message or agree with the director or the producer right. or whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, how much – on my way home today, I was fucking blasting Rage Against the Machine on my way home. I could not disagree with the ideals of Rage Against the Machine much more. Or, I don't know. I don't know. But regardless, I don't agree with them. However, the art does not necessarily reflect my enjoyment. I'm sorry. The positions they take does not necessarily reflect my opinions on the art. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, sir, I think you have a point.
Can you hear all this outside?
I hear a lot of – I heard some trucks backing up before.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of that.
They're doing snow removal on the street.
Oh, snow removal. How cute.
Yeah, very cute. There's construction equipment out on the street going back and forth taking snow away.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so
I – love it.
We went, like, super, like, serious and political in this one.
We did, yeah. It's all right.
Is it? Was it good, though? I think it was good.
I don't know. I think it was fairly interesting. Oh, my God. These people outside are making so much noise.
Oh boy. Okay, so we'll have to get back to the crazy man, and I'll have to see if there's any more updates from
him. Oh, Mr. Reddit?
From the Mr. Reddit guy. We'll have to go back to him next week.
Do you hear this?
I do hear it.
I'm inside. Like, I'm not outside.
No, I know you're not outside.
Cosmo is not pleased. He's staring out the window. He's not happy. Him and his squish face keep looking back at me like, what the fuck is this?
He's waiting for Jihad Johnny to show up.
Oh, fuck that guy.
I like do they know who he is, or do they just call him Jihad John?
No. It's Jihadi John. I think they just found out who he was, but they were calling him that. I honestly didn't really remember anyone calling him that. I just referred to him as the guy in the videos. But, I mean, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I didn't think he had, a name or anything.
Like, they were calling, they're like, oh, Jihadi John has a name. And I'm like, Jihadi John? And they showed and I'm like, oh, the guy that cuts everyone's head off? Okay. Like, I was like, I didn't even realize he even had, like a fake name. I don't know.
It was like, it's like the superhero movies where they're just like, Iron Man fought, who's the guy with the whips? Whiplash. He fought Whiplash.
Yeah.
And the Flash caught, let's call him Captain Cold, because she shoots an ice gun. They were just like, what should we name this guy? He's a real jihadist. Kind of looks like he might be, like a white guy. Call him Jihadi John.
Yeah. What? Talks in a fucking British accent.
And then the one producer's like, perfect, tag it.
Yes. Hashtag Jihadi John.
Yeah, and then every time they show, like, the video footage of Jihadi John, then they gotta show their little nameplate in it for NBC News or whoever the fuck came up with that.
Yeah. The cunts.
I guess they actually figured out his name, though.
Yeah, I guess they got it.
I'm just trying to find out what his actual name was, and it didn't.
It's an Islamic name.
Here's a little thing.
He's from London.
The man known as Jihadi John.
Which
was
no one ever called him.
Yeah, was Muhammad Emwazi.
Yeah, okay, that sounds right.
Probably because Jihadi John came from, like, some local news shit. And the New York Times was like, fuck, that's good.
Yeah. Let's use that.
No. We're not calling him that, okay? Nobody call him Jihadi John. That's too good of a name. I should have come up with it myself. It's like, why the fuck didn't you come up with it? And the kid's like, I don't know. I'm an intern. You're fired, okay?
Bitch.
Go fuck yourself. The news is fucking crazy.
The news is nuts.
Since we were speaking of movies, I'll recommend, and we're talking about news now, briefly.
All the President's Men? Yes, we know you love it.
I do love it, but that's not it.
Well, you said speaking of news.
No, Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, who I usually don't like. He's pretty good in it, though. But,
Jakey
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Either older or younger brother of Maggie. I'm not sure. They might be twins, maybe. I don't know.
He's better looking, though.
They might be bedfellows. I don't know.
They could be. Like, what's their face? Donnie and Marie.
No, I thought you meant like the couple on True Detective, but...
Oh, no. Donnie and Marie. They sleep together.
It's true. Do they still?
I don't know if they still, but they definitely did. Like, don't you think they probably had sex at one point?
Oh, you know what? Probably. Some kind of drug thing.
Or at least, alright, they at the very least made out one
time. Oh, yes. Making out was definitely something that happened.
Okay.
But yeah. Where were we?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Nightcrawler. Very good. Kind of reminded me of Taxi Driver.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to say that the I saw the preview. It did actually look very good.
He's trying to get into, like, the news industry, and he's, like, worming his way into, like, going around at night freelancing, looking for news footage and selling it out. And the whole news industry that they kind of cover, very, like, very creepy and very just exactly what you would expect.
You know what the preview kind of looked like to me, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, was Midnight Meat Train.
I remember the previews for it a little bit. I never saw it though.
It was a Clive Barker film, which means it was totally fucked up and crazy gory.
Did that have was it Clive Owen? No, not Clive Owen.
No, it was
I can't think of his fucking name.
Oh, holy shit. Before he was, like, kind of famous.
It also had Bradley Cooper, right?
Yeah. He was the main guy.
Who was the bad guy in that, though?
Hold on.
Was that Clive Owen? Is that
what I'm thinking of? You know who the bad guy was? It was the guy who played the Juggernaut.
Oh, Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie Jones. Exactly.
Yeah.
Really weird, very, very, very strange movie.
Brooke Shields was in that, too.
Really?
Yeah, yes. She was Susan Hoff.
Well, it must have been Bradley Cooper's wife. Good. Actually, pretty good movie. Entertaining. But that's kind of what it reminded me of in the previous.
Well, I can't speak to that, but I do. I would recommend a Nightcrawler to people.
No.
You recommend Midnight Meat Train. I recommend Nightcrawler. Just go see both.
Yeah. Why not?
Go to your local TV. In your house, and you can probably find it through any number of streaming services.
Or your local video store.
Yeah, they don't exist.
for the most part.
I mean, they do. It's few and it's per capita, it's few and far between.
Yeah.
If there is one though, you should definitely go and support it. But
yeah. Whatever that may be.
Most people listening probably don't have one nearby.
No. I know I don't.
But go check those out if you can. You know, it's probably available. And you know what? If you don't have the internet, then I don't know how the fuck you're listening to us. So. Yeah. Unless one guy in the town is listening to us and then burning CDs of our show and giving it out to people.
Yeah, some guy in fucking ISIS.
No, you take this. You take this. They're funny. All of a sudden, ISIS is like, no, Chuck Colombo.
Yeah.
Just like, you and me are watching at our houses, and we hear the news report. We're both like, wait a minute. What?
Hey, jacking off.
Yeah, they're just like Jack Columbo jacking off Yogi Bear. Ah, we're just like, wait a minute, did he say Chuck Columbo? I thought the subtitle there said Chuck Columbo. And we're just like, oh my god, did we start an international incident?
Yeah, I hope.
And then we can be the only two guys to fix the thing, and then we create world peace.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're like we're like Superman in Superman 4.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just like this little kid in ISIS wrote us a letter about Chuck Colombo.
Just is his favorite fictional character.
Chuck Colombo. The disenfranchised, weary brother of just Columbo, because what's his name? Pete? Chuck? No.
Yeah.
Just Columbo, really. It was very just disheartened, what? And he just...
Wait, what was his real name?
I think it was Peter.
Pete?
I'm pretty sure we talked about it too, because we got to that same point. We're just like,
yeah, we're just like, what is Columbo's name?
What the fuck is Columbo's name?
Pete. I think it might have been Pete. Yeah,
I think it's yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're just like, so we got this letter from this kid Muhammad. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah.
But he just really wants us to. To just try and figure out how to have world peace with you guys. So, can't we just all get along and bond over the story that's Chuck Columbo? And some one guy is like, you play us the story of Chuck Columbo, then maybe we'll see. And we're just like, all right, fine.
Sure.
And then we all have to sit there awkwardly while everybody listens to that episode. And we're just waiting, and we're just like, oh, they didn't laugh at that part. They're not going to like it. World peace isn't gonna happen. It'd be so weird.
It would certainly be weird.
It'd be so, so weird. I was trying to find confirmation on Columbo's first name.
You know, I'm looking at it. I don't see any.
Did you search Columbo first name?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm searching right now. Columbo first name.
We might be thinking Pete because
it's Peter Falk. Yeah.
Columbo is a friendly, verbose, disheveled police detective of Italian descent who is consistently underestimated by his suspects, who are initially reassured and distracted by his circumstantial speech, then increasingly irritated by his pestering behavior. That's a great synopsis of what he is.
It looks like it might be Philip.
Philip. Oh, okay. That actually does sound right.
Let's see. For close, as it appears on his ID in the original series, see that. such a blurry picture. But I guess there was some kind of a court case, and I guess it's now known as Philip Columbo.
Yeah. This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodella.
And remember, everyone, no regrets, and Midnight Meat Train, my nickname in high school.
Yes, it was. My nickname was Minute Meat Train, so...
Minute Meat Train.
Yours is slightly better.